You do have good endings. That's really nice. I like that piece.
Oh, thanks, bud.
So that was done in Banff, and that's called...
State of Grace.
State of Grace by Ed Osborne, who's the guest on Crackle Dawn this morning. And you're listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. And this is Crackle Dawn. Because it's the first Thursday of the month.
That's right.
And as I mentioned before, next month I'm going to be having the text of Melody Sumner and composers who have set her work to sound and music and narration. So that'll be February something or other, the first Thursday of the month at midnight. Right. And you said there was something you had forgotten to mention.
Oh, yes. This is the I'm one of the organizers for a sound festival that's going to be happening in 1996, which seems like an awfully long way away, but we have to get started on this stuff now. It's called Sound Culture, and this is a sort of sound arts festival, which includes a lot of different types of art using sound. There'll be some music as part of it, but it won't be the main part. It's a festival that's happened in Sydney and Tokyo previously. So, and now it's our turn to host it. And currently now out is a call for proposals. So you can sort of pick these up around town, or if you want to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, you can send one to Sound Culture 96, Walter McBean Gallery, San Francisco Art Institute, 800 Chestnut Street, San Francisco, 94133. And the festival is sort of a Pacific region festival. We were going to call it Pacific Rim, but the New Zealanders get very upset because they don't think they live on the rim, so we have to say Pacific region. And there'll be, as part of this, there'll be exhibitions, performances, radio pieces. There'll be some symposia panels, people talking. There'll probably be at least one sort of big network piece with a lot of different sites hooked up on the computer networks. You know, anything else you can think of that would use sound. So we're pretty open to having lots of different types of things going on.
Great.
Yeah. So.
So is that a proposal? I'll take one off you.
Yeah. This is the form.
Good. I have to start, applying for things.
Right. And the deadline for this is March 31st of this year. So you've got almost three complete months.
Yeah, which is more than I can say for some of the other things that are coming right up. Like January 15th. I thought one thing was February 1st, and it turned out to be January 15th. Ooh. So hustle, hustle, hustle.
It's always the way.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah,
it really is fun to think about it and actually get the wheels turning. Because then the creative juices start working. More think about what you've been doing and what you want to do and start realizing some of the, that's the good part. I came to art late in life, and the good part of it was that I thought about being an artist from my fresh viewpoint of kind of late 30s was that you could actually have a vision and realize it. And it might not realize it completely or something else might come out of it, but you actually could get pretty close to what your vision was and that you were the boss of it too. There's no one else telling you that it's right or wrong or good or bad. And I had a few really good teachers at Mills, like Terry Riley and Bob Ashley.
Right.
And Terry Riley is the attitude. Just do it to please yourself. Don't do it to please other people. And I had some sound advice. Sometimes I don't always take it, but it always comes back to me, those voices saying that. And that's really, true. Important thing. And I know Wesleyan, that's one of the places I was considering going. That sounds like a very
it's a
good place too. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Philadelphia.
So you went to high school there?
I went to high school there, and then pretty much left right after high school.
Wesleyan?
Yeah, I went to Wesleyan, and I haven't spent much time in Philadelphia since then. It was about 6 months at one point. Philadelphia is actually a very nice town. I like visiting it. It's very manageable. There's a lot of really fabulous food there, nice people. But, you know, I grew up there, and I didn't want to stay.
Did you, when you were growing up, did you live in the same house all the time? Or did you move a lot?
No, we only moved once, which was one block up the street. So.
We only moved once, too. How old were you?
I was 8 when we moved.
We were 10. Yeah. And my parents are still there. And they're 82 and 84, my parents. So what can I say? So what are we going to hear now?
What are we going to hear now? Well, I have queued up a while ago. I think it was Jim wanted to hear the very latest Ed Osborne thing. And this is something that I recorded last night, I guess slightly over 24 hours ago.
So that's pretty...
Very recent. You can't get much more recent than that. And this is not really a piece of music. It's just a sound that I've been hearing in my neighborhood for quite a while. And I finally managed to get a tape recorder out as it was happening, which is... I live in a studio in downtown Oakland, which is an extremely bizarre place to live because after 5 o'clock, it just becomes a ghost town. I mean, I literally live with tall buildings. I look out my window and I can only see other buildings. There's no sky or anything. So it's sort of like living in New York.
Just going to say that.
Yeah.
New York is like.
Yeah, it's very strange. And so what happens at night is all that you hear is, you know, people driving around in those cars that make lots and lots of noise.
Yeah. And do you hear lots of, like, dum, 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 like lots and lots and lots of sound.
Yeah, lots of
like,
sound.
Like music.
Yeah.
Like the bass.
The bass.
The bass.
The bass that you can hear from blocks away.
Yeah.
And then
I actually like that a lot. I like hearing it.
I like hearing it. I don't like it when it's...
When it wakes you.
Well, it doesn't usually wake me up, but when it sort of takes over, you know, like inside... doing something, and then there's this sound that happens outside that just sort of comes in and stays for a while. I also hear there's a phone booth right outside my window, and I hear lots of people having the most insane conversations on the phone, just like screaming at people on the other end of the phone, and various other, you know, things that go on. So it, periodically there's a guy that comes around that I call the screaming guy, because he'll just walk up the street and be screaming.
We had that on Walnut in Berkeley.
Yeah, maybe it's the same guy. And I only heard him for a long time. And finally, a few weeks ago, I was able to catch a glimpse of him. He's got a very funny walk. He sort of has a sort of contorted type walk, and then he'll walk a little bit and scream, and then turn around and walk backwards and scream some more, and walk forwards. It's sort of a dance almost. It's very strange. So the other night, or last night, I heard him come in, and I thought, okay, I can finally get the recording. So that's what we have queued up, I think, on the DAT tape number one.
Is it one? I'm really mixed up now.
Yeah, well, it's the top one, I think.
It's the top one, okay.
Well, whatever one has the numbers on it.
Well, yeah, the Banff one was, you think it was two?
Here, I'll
now
come
I'm
around
really
and take a look.
Now I'm really mixed up. Just keep talking. And, well, I think Puzzling Evidence is next.
Number two.
Oh, it is number two. So, okay. So I was right, right?
Yeah.
Ha ha.
You're always right, Barb.
Not always. So... Do you have a name for it at this date?
No, it's just a recording of the... It's just
Ed's house.
Audio verite.
Outside of Ed's house. Right. In my Canadian accent. Ed Osborne.
At quarter of one.
That is very, very intense.
Yes, it's very strange.
This other person, this was different. This man was shouting a lot.
Shouting words or just...
I don't even really remember if it was words. Maybe it was words. Probably talking and shouting, but not like that. This howl.
Yeah.
That was really...
It's a very strange thing. I was sort of thinking about today. I was glad when... I had seen him, and that he actually was doing some behavior that was sort of as strange as that sound is, because I think I would have been, it was sort of nice when I'd heard him, because I'd been hearing him for over a year, but never actually seen him. And it was nice just having it be a sound. This identity was just a sound. And because sometimes, you know, it's sort of like the radio thing. Like you meet somebody who you've heard on the radio and it's sort of a disappointment because they're not like you pictured. But this was nice because the guy was actually, you know, behaving, you know, in a very strange manner, equally
so
as strange.
So he was really walking weirdly?
Yeah.
Contorted? And
yeah, very contorted, a strange sort of...
Was he, is he homeless? Did you sense that he was homeless or did he, was he,
I couldn't
did he not look as outdoors?
No, he didn't look, like he slept outdoors. I mean, he looked like, his clothes were relatively clean and stuff, and he wasn't carrying anything, any possessions with him. Mm. He was just walking down the street. So,
Do you live near Doug's Barbecue down there?
Doug's Barbecue. I'm not sure. Where's Doug's Barbecue? I think it...
Down Telegraph. Telegraph and about 15th or something.
15th.
30, no, Telegraph and 20th or something.
Yeah. No, I used to live closer to there, but I don't... now it's like... Well, I live right next to City Hall in downtown Oakland.
Oh, okay. Because I used to work right near Lake Merritt, like catty corner from the library.
Oh, right.
So I know where City... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, nice piece. I wish it would have been longer.
Yeah, well, I'll try to get him to stick around for longer next time.
Okay. So, right. Let's listen to more. I want more stuff.
I always should say the phone number again in case anybody wants to call in. I always have to talk to people, 848-4425.
And, Erica 510 848-4425. Give us a call.
That's right. And the next thing I have is a selection from Richard Lerman, who's he used for a long time, I think, was a Boston-based sound artist, and he's moved to Phoenix, I think, for a teaching job there, which sounds, I'm sure there's some lovely people.
Did you just crack your knuckle?
No, I didn't. I was adjusting the piece of paper. Oh, I was going to
chastise you.
Why? I want to crack my knuckles. But
I always want to crack my knuckles. Yeah, yeah, because it begets more.
I know.
You know.
It's sort of addictive. Oh, so look, Richard Lerman is here. Well,
do you want to take a call like, on the
sure.
air?
Sure. Yeah, why don't we take it on the air and see what happens.
Hi.
No, I don't think it's still flashing. He's not...
just a minute. What haven't I done? Yeah. Oh, here we go.
There we go.
Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I just turned on the radio a couple of minutes ago, and I was expecting the program Over the Edge. What happened to that show?
The first Thursday of the month is Crack of Dawn.
But you can think of it as being way over the edge.
What's the nature of your programming?
It's new music and the composers who do it.
New age?
No.
What kind
no.
of?
No. Just stay, sit back and listen.
Oh, avant-garde?
Sort of.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something really strange. I got back, maybe an hour ago from playing at a chess club. And I just noticed that a chair inside my apartment has moved about 1 foot. One side of the chair has moved about 1 foot from where I left it. And I don't remember seeing that chair move. I didn't see it in that position when I came in the apartment. I think there might be some kind of poltergeist in this place, believe it or not.
I do. Or there could have been a slight earthquake.
I didn't notice anything. I don't remember tripping over the chair, and I didn't hear it move, but I just... Notice the doggone thing's not where I left it. It's very strange. I don't know if anybody got in here or not, but I just thought I mentioned there's something strange going on here.
Maybe something in the air. You never know.
So, Over the Edge will be on next week?
Yep.
Well, I'll listen to your program for a while then.
Great.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
I know.
Okay, 510-848-4425. That's about 50% of the calls I get. People.
Right.
Saying, where is Over the Edge? And I've been on the first Thursday of the month for years and years and years. But getting back to Richard Lerman.
Right.
So we're going to hear some of his music?
Yeah, we'll hear, one or two pieces. We hear just one short piece. What he does for this is he builds his own microphones and does field recordings of various things, doing these very... very heavily filtered sounds that you get from the microphones. And the thing I like about his music too is it's sort of free of his intent in some way, because you just sort of get these filtered things and use the microphone as a microscope. So it's sort of the, I think it's the audio equivalent to sort of microscopic photography. And so we'll listen to, what we have queued up is recordings done on, of trees, and there are three sort of small sections lighted together. One is a palm tree in the Big Island of Hawaii, one is some spruce trees in Newfoundland in Canada, and one is another one is two palm trees elsewhere on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, great. Wow, that's kind of weird. I mean, yeah. Is it like he wasn't rubbing like the microphone on the bark or
anything? No, it wasn't doing anything active. I think
it was just really the wind
yeah,
and the elements, and it's
right,
really microscopic then.
Right. Like, I mean, he puts
macro
on
macro lens or idea.
Yeah, that sort of idea.
So he just puts it
on the leaves or the branches or something and lets the wind blow and do that. I know for a while he was doing some version of trying to get recordings of trees growing, and I don't know if whether that meant inserting, you know, something into the tree and recording those sounds. It had something to do with taking data over a long period of time, I think, and speeding it up.
Time lapse
photography.
Time lapse audio.
Yeah, with sound. Neat. But I don't know if that ever whatever came of that project.
Maybe the technology has to improve to be able to. You know,
to
realize that,
right?
You know, some kind of
right. Either that, or we've missed it altogether. You know.
So, do you want to take this on the air?
Sure, we'll take it on the air.
I just want to tell you though that Over the Edge is on next Thursday night now. So don't be calling for that now. Mm-hmm. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's me from Argentina again, and I keep listening to your program, and I like it every time more. Especially after this guy who called about the poltergeist chair or whatever is happening in his house. Just before Ed was announcing this recording, I was thinking about, I used to live in Berkeley.
It really worked well with the chair also, didn't it?
Yeah. I used to live on 6th and Cedar, and there's this African tree right in the corner, and I used to live in a studio, and there's a bird that lives there, and sings only at night, and not every night, but some nights.
Do you know what kind of bird it is?
I don't know, but every time I thought that it's this African corner on 6th and Cedar, and that maybe this tree, it's a tree with some African, I'm sure it's an African bird that lives there too, and it's, it's very quiet over there, and it's, I recommend it to, if some night you're bored and you have nothing to do, you can go to 6th and Cedar and sit under this tree and listen to the bird. And it sounds a little bit like this guy that you recorded.
Richard Lerman?
Richard Lerman?
Yeah. No.
Oh, like you mean the screaming guy?
Oh, the screaming guy.
Yeah.
The bird sounds like that?
It's a little more subtle, a little softer.
I would hope so.
But it has a little bit of...
plaintive.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting, actually. We should go... See if we can
go
catch
into
it.
That.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. So,
I lost the other caller.
We're running out of time, and
okay.
We lost that other caller. If you want to call back, do it right now. 510-848-4425. So, we don't have too much time
too
left.
Much time
what are you going to play?
Well, I thought since I occasionally get requests for this, I would do it. In a previous life, when I was living in Boston, I was part of a group where all of us played skis, these instruments I was describing before. We were known as the Skiadelics. So I realize it will haunt me for the rest of my life because I will inevitably turn up someplace where I've never been before
and
have the
skis.
And they'll say, do you know about this group that you know, they all played the skis? And I was like, yes, I was in it. And they're like, you were in it? Cool, you know, so this, you know, sort of goes on for the rest of my life. So this is a recording of the Skiadelics, and it's in, I've got two things queued up there, and I can't remember which one it is, whichever that machine is on, ID9.
Okay, you want the one on ID9?
Yeah.
Okay.
look out for that one.
At Osborne's Skiadelics. Well, there you have it, the Skiadelics. What year is that from?
I think that was from 88.
So that's five of you, and you're all playing, each of you is playing a ski?
A ski, see.
So it's got one string, the whole length of it, and...
Right, so that was the sound of five strings.
Very wonderful.
Less than one guitar, yeah.
Should we have this person on the air?
Sure, why not?
I think I know who this is going to be.
Okay.
But she has a nice, really nice laugh. Hi.
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
Huh, did you leave us? Did I do wrong? There we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, is this over the edge?
No, it's not.
Is Don there? Where is everyone?
No, he's not.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
It's the first Thursday of the month.
Okay, so enough said. So what are we going to hear now?
Okay.
Look, the first Thursday of the month is Crack of Dawn.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, the next thing that we have is a short recording of an installation that I did earlier this year at the Victoria Room. And this is a piece called Blind Field, which is built from a bunch of pivoting head fans, which are connected together by thin wires to pickups. Yeah, so there's this big network on which the stresses on the wires are constantly changing as the fans turn on and off and pivot.
Well, have you brought this?
So it's on whichever DAT machine wasn't just playing. So
yeah, it's
number
on three, right?
Number three, yeah.
Okay. And has it got a name? Does it got a name?
Is that how they say things in Canada?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Which I like Canada a lot.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Yeah. Now, that makes me feel a lot better now. But seriously, actually, I like Canada a lot. Good, duh. Okay, so does it have a name?
Does it have a name? Yes, it does. Blind Field is the name.
Ed Osborne's Blind Field. Forgot the name of that.
Oh, that's okay. I forget it all the time, too. It's called Blind Field.
Oh, yeah, right.
An excerpt from an installation called Blind Field.
That was the wires vibrated by the fans.
By the fans turning on and off.
Neat. Totally neat.
Yeah. It's a fun piece.
Yeah.
So,
Tree squeaking?
Was that?
Are we going to hear more trees?
No, what? This is the... Phil Novelik, this will actually be a bunch of flutes. This is...
Oh, good. The four flutes?
Yeah,
the
four flutes.
Oh,
yeah,
good. I wanted to hear that. This is this great guy, Phil Novelik, who has performance space in New York City.
Right.
And this is also this great cook and nurturer and filmmaker and composer and
all around wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've never heard any of his music, I have to say.
Yeah.
Must say, I should actually do a show on his stuff.
Yeah.
Do just a phone interview, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
So, say any more about this?
I really like his music because it got sort of elements of music, but it's not, I don't think of it as being very musical in the way that we think about music as functioning. It's basically a bunch of long tones of the same instrument layered on top of each other with very fine differences in tuning, so you hear beating patterns. So it's a very tactile thing,
nice.
And it's not metaphoric really at all. It's just sort of a thing. So his piece is going for very long, so we won't hear the whole thing, but we hear a bit of it. And this is for from a set of pieces he did for flutes.
By Phil Novelik.
Phil Novelik.